when you understand the why, your behavior and your reasons for making these changes are become more solidified. And that's what it's about, really. Because after working with me, or when our program ends, it's just like, I want you to make these changes sustainable and long lasting, and for you to actually help other people around your circle and your family and friends and point them on their path.
This is
the Energy Motto Podcast, a show for the youth, for the curious, and for those seeking to discover more about their inner and outer world.
We are bringing on the experts, guides, and leaders that are shaping the path to an exciting era.
And we are your hosts, Emilio Ortiz
and Alvaro Jodar.
Ryan Carter, also known as Livite, is a health coach, personal trainer, and nutritional therapist. He showcases a unique approach to health by delivering his vast array of knowledge from utilizing Mother Nature, dealing with modern technology, biohacking interventions, and incorporating functional medicine into his practice. FeedSpot Media Database listed him as number 7 on the top 50 biohacking Instagram influencers most followed in 2020, very well accompanied by other luminaries such as Wim Hof, Aubrey Marcus, and Tim Ferriss. He was also listed as a top 10 health influencer this past year. His educational yet digestible content has allowed him to amass almost 500,000 loyal followers on Instagram due to his intentional posts that aim to empower others to achieve optimal health. He's also constantly teaching others to cook up delicious primal meals on top media outlets like Pop Sugar, Men's Health, and Bulletproof. The interview covers Ryan's personal health journey, dealing not only with uncommon struggles like environmental toxic mold and heavy metals in his diet, but also far too common eating disorders. Stay tuned to hear the story about how he turned his life around and also gained new tools to add to your optimization kit. If you're new to this podcast or have listened in a couple episodes, we just want to express our immense gratitude for all you individuals who are seeking new ways to optimize your health and upgrade your mindset. And as promised, we present to you Livite. And don't worry, we'll tell you what that means in Latin towards the end of the episode. Stick around. Ryan Carter, how you doing, brother?
I'm very good, thank you. How are you doing?
We're great. I'm great. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. We really appreciate your time. We wanted to start off, I've been reading about your story and I'm super intrigued on how you came across the health space in general and how you became so passionate. Was it a personal experience? Was it a certain book, a mentor? How did you come? We'll talk about your brand Livite later, but first yeah. I want to hear how you came.
Okay, so how I got in the whole health space was basically with my own health issues. Like what you'll commonly find is coaches, nutritionists, doctors, maybe not doctors per se because they see it as a career, but like nutritionists, health coach, personal trainers to a certain degree, they all have their own like health issue or a root cause which is holding them back to fulfilling their full potential. Yeah. And in my case, that was no different. Now that I know, I had some heavy metal issues. I was consuming a lot of mercury found in tuna, mm-hmm. like that proper bodybuilding sort of mentality of just like eating excess protein. But on the back of that as well, I was traveling around Africa and mm-hmm. in Tanzania, Zanzibar, and I'm pretty certain that I picked up maybe like a parasite or a few other things along the way there. So it's like all these kind of things were adding to a bucket. And on top of that was just an uneducated understanding of nutrition and lifestyle and health. So that's what we briefly touched upon before we started recording, was like our redox potential. Mm-hmm. So basically my internal health prior to all these influences was fairly bad, and my ability to mitigate these, whether it was parasites, heavy metals, was poor. And I had no innate health to withstand that. And over time, these built up and put me down the track of trying to find out more, because the areas where I try to look for help, such as the GP or online, they weren't good enough. there was so much information, there was bad information, and they're basically all plasters, and they weren't helping me resolve the actual issue. And I was just going around in circles, and then it was just like there's just one thing, and it just took me to like heavy metals being mercury. And then I found out a little bit more about that, and then my friend put me in touch with a practitioner in London, and he realized there were some mold issues, which was a bigger thing to deal with than mercury, and just uncovering that. So then I got into the whole thing about mold, and then I found furthermore about reasons why people get mold issues, like the actual root cause of why people susceptible to mold, be it from genetics or be it going back to the whole redox point. But all previous to those health issues, there was another thing, was I had a sort of like an eating disorder where I was basically anorexic. I was at 55 kilos, which is literally half of, nearly half of what I weigh right now, which is 100 kilos. So that's a significant difference. And I was just doing chronic cardio. I was eating all the carbohydrates, pasta, and everything like that. And I was just basically addicted and chasing a number on the scale, and lost sight and focus of what true health was or what I was doing in the first place. And that basically was the kicking point, that eating disorder and understanding I was anorexic and acknowledging it and the awareness. And then that brought me up to my health journey, becoming a bodybuilder, the heavy metals, the mold, and then into the awareness of what true health really is and about.
Yeah. I'm really interested to hear more about this eating disorder, and because there's a lot of things that you touched there, and most of them, I would say, they're very environmentally driven. So you had the genetic predisposition that you couldn't detoxify these heavy metals in the environment, that's external, and then the pathogen, again, external. But some of these other things were more internal, and I would say were more influenced by other things. What do you think, for example, influenced you to have these disorders or that addiction to exercise and building muscle? Is that a society thing? Is that something that came from where?
Yeah, I think it was a sense of like self-love, self-care, lack of awareness, lack of friends, probably, feeling isolated in society, didn't have a real sense of belonging. I recently broke up with my girlfriend at that time, moved to Liverpool, quite far away from London. Yeah. And I had a lot of alone time, and exercise or tracking my weight in that moment in time was a sense of control, and having that control over food and exercise and counting. So that's what I primarily put that down to.
Mm-hmm. That's super interesting. It's more like, did you have a spiritual approach to it when you were like healing from all these traumas or these, I would even say like from when I was little, we all have some sort of negative relationship to food. I don't know exactly where that comes from. I've been trying to figure it out because from my experience, it's very internal as well. Where do you think these problems arise from? And it's a big issue in our generation.
I think it comes from a lack of education and understanding around about the food system in the world, how food is produced and controlled and dictated by Mother Nature. And as humans, we have an amazing neural capacity to think we're smarter than we actually are, mm-hmm. and think we're smarter than nature. So taking control of the food system, food production, when and what time we should eat, and we just lose sense and intuition of mm-hmm. how food is, like what the mechanism of food really is, and have the connection with that, with our biochemistry and biochemistry and physiology, basically. So lack of education, understanding, be it in schools or be it from our parents, and our parents as well are our role models, and the society as a whole. We obviously see that there's a lot of single parents now, so the upbringing has completely changed as well, which no one really talks upon. Is like now it's very much single parents, You're eating dinner in front of the TV. There's no social gathering around the dining table. It like food was like it was a big thing back then. It's a celebration, and now it's just treated of like I've just got to eat. I've just got to get it in. Food's just literally just energy when it was much more than that previously.
Yeah, I really love your approach to health because it very ties into the ancestral wisdom that we have. I wanted to ask you, like, where did this interest in like primal method or just having that ancestral education, where did that interest come from? And what are your thoughts on what is an ancient a human from a long time ago? What were they doing differently than us that's causing all these health problems now?
Yeah, so that'll go down to like Homo sapiens. Mm-hmm. And the biggest point in time would be the agricultural change when humans decided to settle down and change the way of life. Yeah. Instead of going to a hunter and gatherer, a more like paleolithic sort of template. But it's not just the food, it's the lifestyle, it's the walking, it's the hunting, it's the social aspect, it's the creating the fires for the warmth, it's the sheltering, it's the temperature exposure, it's the traveling. It's all these things. And then humans just decided to set a home and a base, which obviously has its pros. It allowed population to increase. It allowed for greater security and safety, which we know are big factors in terms of how we function and need. But also it lost our ability of being in nature and in the environment and having all these primal influences on our health. And that changed the diet. So we started growing crops such as grains, fruits, and across like hundreds of thousands of years, change in the food production, the change in the chemical structure of these foods. Even like today, like the watering system, fertilizers, pesticides, like food that we eat now is a massive hybrid, not like genetically wise, but also hybrid wise. And they just look complete, like food look completely different. A lot of food back then was probably not edible. Like all the plants that we have now have been primed for mass production and mass flavor profiles. And be it like a carrot, for example, it looked disgusting and like pitiful, basically. And the thought alone of thinking that what people believe now is that you can survive off carrots and all these plant-based foods is completely like, just not true. Going back in time, that wouldn't have been the case because you wouldn't have been able to have the ability to have that mass amount of calories or nutrition from plant compounds because they wouldn't have been able to grow in the first place or have the availability all year round to have that that crop.
Mm-hmm. And as we evolved, what do you think was really the game changer? I've heard you speak upon like seafood made our brains bigger and we're able to think more, but what was the major change? I mean, like right now, what are we doing differently than our ancestors?
Yeah, so it's not eating the seasonal diet. So that would be varied and dependent on where you are around the world. Mm-hmm. So we're not eating locally. And you just need to go to your local farmer's market. I don't know if you have one where you are, but like if you go to your local farmer's market and just see what's growing in your proximity, that should be dictating on what you should eat. But then you add into the confusion around like nutritional science, which is very dogmatic, a reductionist approach to look at things. And even the science around it is not even crystal clear. Claiming that like red meat is bad, eggs, cholesterol, all these sort of beliefs and paradigms, it's just typically not true in the sense of how humans have evolved ancestrally. And acquired the way and the like the brains and the ability to think and process things and hunt and even looking at our anatomy, like our teeth, our stomach acid, all these, and our digestive tract, all these things have shaped and been influenced by eating animal foods and being in a food chain. And we would have never had the ability to have PubMed like hundreds and thousands of years ago. We were just ate for survival and ate for adaption and reproduction, basically.
I wanted to get into really it's so interesting to see since we first saw each other in September, how your social media following has grown over the past. And I really wanted to dial in on what led you to start this Livite page, sharing your knowledge, because it's so interesting because there's so many like health influencers that they're out here and they're sharing stuff that's really on the surface, and they're not really helping anyone. They're just like putting stuff out there that's not going to help. But what have you done differently than these influencers that's really shown the results?
Yeah, like for sure. Like, and I was in that same position. I was like, there's so much crap basically out there, so much noise and information. What really do we need to understand? Mm-hmm. Questioning things, I think that's the biggest part, is like questioning what people are telling you, questioning the government, because the government should not be in charge of your health. You have the right and you should be in charge of your health. You're the CEO of your health. And you should be doing everything you can to find out more and empowering yourself. And that was the case with when I started Livite. It was like, there's so much shit out here and I want to take control and I want to help people, but I need to help myself first. And then I'll be in a place where I can help others. That was the case. I just set it up. I wanted to become a nutritionist or a nutritional therapist. I'd done my education. I'd done my external research as well in reading, questioned the norm, and just keep on trying to find the answers, and using nature, using ancestral wisdom, but also using modern science and quantifiable tracking to utilize a platform and a method program of working with clients and getting the best sustainable personalized sort of approach to resolving their health issues, but even going beyond that scope and giving the knowledge which they need to know, but also giving the knowledge which is accessible and understandable, relatable, which they can take away from after work with me. So that's how I see it.
Mm-hmm. And it's really like, I really love your approach, because Instagram has become, especially with my generation, probably much more aesthetic, and most of the health influencers are the ones that have the amazing body, the abs, the perfect round booty, like all this. Yeah. But you're posting mainly just educational content, like, boom, this is how much calories this has. This is what this has. This is the comparison between these two foods.
Yeah.
When you were thinking about starting this page, were there any social like limitations that you had to face in order to put yourself out there and create this content and help people?
So basically the whole premise of the Instagram per se, or even when I put out content, is to provide value. I think that's a big key. And whether it's just a recipe or comparing something, it's to provide value for people to understand in an easy way. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what works well and what's helped my platform grow. And of course, like, there's been like times when I've questioned things and like, am I doing it right? Am I causing more confusion and stuff? And even like recent posts of like being attacked by a tribe of vegans and all these kind of things. Like, you literally have to have thick skin because it's just a lot of noise there. And it's the same thing. Like, Instagram can also take over your life too. And I'm very aware of the amount of time I spend on it and the influence it has on my life and taken away from my personal and social life too. I don't really care anymore about upsetting peoples or debating people. I don't think it's actually the place to have a conversation or an open discussion anymore. I think it's very much like right, wrong, yes, no. I think it's pretty much like Twitter. So I don't know if you're on Twitter much. It's like, this is an opinion. It's just like bombardment and it's just like arguing. And I don't think that's the best place to gather or have a decent conversation with someone.
So your main platform right now is Instagram, right?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I just find it the most easiest way to illustrate, especially with pictures. I also think YouTube's a great platform as well, but it just requires more time and energy to make decent videos and having the transcripts and all that kind of stuff. And I'm a one-man team at the moment. So I'd love to get into that and put out content on like that. But it's just a bit of a time, energy, resource challenge.
And you made great content, brother. So keep that up.
Thank you.
And I also know that you use your Instagram to promote your one-on-one coaching. Yep. And I wanted to ask you, like, when someone's working one-on-one with you, of course you have all the knowledge to fix their health in like a heartbeat, but what do they have to do? Like, if people want to get better, what do they have to put in for themselves to get better results?
Yeah. So that's a great question. A great point. I am not the person who's going to change their health. I am the facilitator. I make the things and put them in their path and I push them along the way. But the change has to come from within. The change has to come from with the client and their beliefs. So it's not me telling them to do this, a dictatorship. It's a relationship where, like, we become, like, not friends, but there's a really client-patient relationship there. And it's looking at their mental health. It's looking at the environment. It's looking at what's going on emotionally, how they process traumas from the past, which we've just previously discussed. It's looking into their choices, be it from food or be it from potential habits like drinking or smoking, whatever it could be, and addressing them. Where is that challenge coming from? Why is it occurring? So it's looking at the bigger picture, influenced by their goal, but addresses so many different things and so many different levels. And there's no one I feel who's doing it like that, who's having a full picture look at someone's health and guiding them there, be it on a handheld approach, because that's what I believe was really the problem out there with other nutritionists when I was trying to improve my health. It was like, you have your consult, they send out the plan, and then you just get on with it and you see them again in 8 weeks' time. And like, there's no ability to understand the why. Why am I doing this? Why are you telling me to take that supplement? Why are you telling me to wear these blue blocking glasses? All that kind of stuff. It's like, I think that's a big part in the whole experience. When you understand the why, your behavior and your reasons of making these changes become more solidified. And that's what it's about, really. Because after working with me, or when our program ends, is like, I want you to make these changes sustainable and long lasting, and for you to actually help other people around your circle and your family and friends, and point them on that with information.
Yeah,
not information, but just wisdom as well. Like, you can have all the information and knowledge, but if you cannot put that in an applied manner that someone can use, and it's just hot air, basically.
Yeah. And wisdom in the end is just knowledge applied. And that brings me to the question, like, I've been following you for a while and I always see you posting pictures, reading scientific research. It really seems like you just have that love of learning, which is, I think, something that we both share. I want to know, for you, where does it come from?
Passion, mate. It is the passion to always be learning. I think, I don't know who said the quote, but the day you stop learning is like the day you die, basically. I can't remember who said it, but that really, I like that. But I don't know, I just have a passion about health and understanding life and what is life, basically, and uncovering the beliefs and false claims that people or governments or whatever it is that's says the truth, and tell people to shut up, and if they question it, they're apparently like a weirdo or a conspiracy theorist, which is just completely not true. So that's where it comes from, and always, like, just to better myself every day. Like, I'm addicted to bettering myself. Although people might say, like, addicted is a bad word to use, I truly believe it's like, I really want to improve myself every day, and I'm addicted to that. Like, the same thing, like, we have an addiction to being outdoors in the sun. We naturally produce endorphins from being outdoors, from sun exposure, and it's just the way you use that addictive ability, instead of using it from, like, man-made opioids or man-made high fat, high sugar foods, for example, trying to increase our dopamine there when we can build it from reading, learning, growing our minds, our friends, connections, and sun.
And what are some things that are really sparking your curiosity right now at the moment? Like, what are you reading? What are you researching about? What new practices are you implementing to your human optimization kit that people can take away?
Okay, so the very book I'm reading right now, it's quite a tough one. It's Death by Rubber Duck. I'm not enjoying it too much right now. It's pretty much more of a story. Mm-hmm. But it's all about the pollutants and toxic chemicals, predominantly more in North America. And then on side of that, I'm reading, I'm trying to think on what's on my tabs. This morning I was reading about B12, B12 transportation, Alzheimer's, autism, schizophrenia, deficiencies there.
It was very like diversified.
Yeah, right? Like literally it'd be one subject. Like I have a note, like a whiteboard each week, and there'll be subjects I want to go into. Mm-hmm. There'll be a podcast I'll be listening. So right now I'm listening to a Jack Cruise podcast. And he puts me like, he'd be like a person I really highly respect and look up to. And he would put me on a path of trying to find out more. So he's got the understanding of it, but I would like to grasp the information a little bit more deeper instead of on the surface level and understand why he's coming up with that, that point. So things like melanopsin, which is a blue light chromophore in our eye, in our retina, and things like leptin, melatonin, the understanding of the mitochondria, all these kind of things that just fascinate me. And finally, that question is like practice I'm recently doing is getting into my local park and spending 1 hour a day minimum and feeding my ducks as well. Not my ducks, feeding the ducks in the local pond too. Just taking that time in the morning and making it a sacred sort of time to relax, to bring it down. Mm-hmm. Time for myself, basically.
That's important.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And for a college student, I want you to like think about your college days. You know, we're always out here partying, stuff like this, not taking care of our health. What would you say to them? And what would you want them to include maybe in their toolkits that they can start just implementing?
Well, yeah, I think obviously when you're at that age, when you're in college, university, wherever it is, I think it's important to embrace and dive into that culture and dive into that aspect, and not restrict yourself and be strict and hard on yourself, but to experience it. And that same, like, you might need the experience of getting drunk and feeling like crap to make you sense of, like, that's not a great idea. Like, if you've never drunk and in your upbringing, for example, and then suddenly you're allowed, like, bottomless alcohol or beer or something, you're just going to go crazy. So I think you have to have that understanding, the awareness of certain things and what they do to you, for you to make that change. Instead of fearing something, I think you actually have to experience it. Be it with diets as well. If you have an opinion on a keto diet, yet you've never been keto or tried it, like I don't think you can have a full opinion of it. I think you have to practice what you preach, and you have to practice and try these things. And that's what I did, is like getting to have skin in the game of multiple things. And did you ask what practices I would be doing as well at that age as well?
Yeah. Yeah. Like a toolkit for
yeah, coffee. I think Matt Rook has got a great company, Raw Optics, and blue blocking glasses, paying attention to your light environment as a whole, whether it be from your computer screen, whether it be from your spotlights in the background, and understanding that has a massive influence in your biochemistry. And that's what you should really be paying more attention to than counting calories or steps per day. I think light is the most easiest, although you can go deep into it, it's one of the most easiest things to look into and change that has a massive non-linear effect on everything else. It will change the way your perception is, your reality, your food choices. It's massive. Mm-hmm.
Is that one of the interests that you're like really keen on, is light?
Yeah, I'm not super focused on it, but I do think it's one of the primary pillars. If there was like a hierarchy and stuff, it would be environment, light would be predominantly there.
Yeah, and then probably nutrition and your...
Yeah, well, nutrition will be up there. It's a hard one because light, sleep, stress, they affect our nutrition. They affect the way the mitochondria works. Mm-hmm. We need to be eating the way that our mitochondria need to perform optimally, be it is to restore health or whatever. So that they shape, those factors shape what our nutrition should be. Also our age, that changes our nutrition. So it's not literally like nutrition and then sleep. It's like a universe basically of different things. And it's very hard to put in a pyramid as such, and have it as an order of magnitude. But light is a very key, pretty much key part and role in our health.
Wow, that's powerful. So in a practical sense, that's getting light in the morning, or how do you use light to your benefit?
Yeah, for sure. Like getting up first thing in the morning, you don't have to go to the park or anything like that. You can just open up your window, stick your head outside, ideally, where the sun is facing, and get some light there. And then throughout the day, just exposing yourself to light, and then reducing your artificial light, be it from night mode on your phone, be it from blue blocking glasses, or using candles as well.
All right. So Ryan, where can people find you? Where can people know more about you?
Yeah. So there's a change in location, obviously, or where I'm saying this now. The best place to find me is on my website, which is www.livevitae.com. So that's LIVE, live, vitae, VITAE. Or you can see me on Instagram. I'm fairly active on there. But the best place is, if you want to message me, it would be on my email, and you can find it on my website.
Perfect. So this is kind of the wrap-up question that we do before every podcast. The name of this podcast is The Energy Motto. And the question is, upon getting up in the morning, what's one thing that makes you feel alive? Or in your life, what have you found that ignites that flame within and allows you to tap into your energy, which we've said are the untapped sources of internal energy that we all hold to unveil innate physical, mental, and spiritual capabilities?
Yeah, so for me, that would be passion. Having a passion, something that just drives your energy, your get up and go. Passion, whatever that could be. For me, it's nutrition and understanding health and life. For someone else, it could be football. For someone else, it could be cooking, singing, for example. So finding a passion and as early as possible and just go with it. Wherever it takes you around the world, whatever you do, just embrace the journey.
Amazing. And let's say, what are your final nuggets of wisdom for anyone who has yet to unleash their energy? So if this was the last day you were to tell someone this advice, what would be the final nuggets of wisdom accumulated of what you've learned over the past years in your health journey?
Yeah. So it'd be, health is not found from humans or from a bottle. It's innate. It's in our DNA. It's based from the environment, from Mother Nature, and the rules which she has in place, which governs everything else on this planet.
Wow. Amazing.
Simply as that.
Yes. Very simple. Ryan Carter, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. We really enjoyed getting all this knowledge from you. And I want to acknowledge you for being so authentic and always putting in the best content, helping people grow, helping people have that mindset to really take control of their health. And that's really what you're doing out here. I'm only going to see you start growing. I'm really excited to see you grow.
Yeah, it's been great speaking to you, and a great conversation.
It definitely was. Thank you so much. Take care.
Take care.
And there's Ryan Carter, Live Vitae, giving us, you know, brilliant knowledge, brilliant insights on unconventional topics of health, you know, and really need to applaud him on that, the way he communicates, and the way he has a willingness to share all these insights, all these details on health. So, yeah. And we also wanted to ask, we have a few guests lined up, but
let us know who you would like on and DM us on the Energy Motto, and we'd be happy to respond. We'd be happy to ask these guests on the podcast, because at the end, it's all about you guys. So take care.